phones. Let's talk to Dr. Gina. Gina, good morning.
Morning. I'm not going to say good morning. I'm just going to say morning. You know, here's the thing from my perspective. I have disagreed with so many of Rob Thompson's calls throughout, not just through this series, but going back and back. I've never quite gotten the way he perceives what should be done. I've tried to see his point of view. Sometimes I've kind of like mushed my point of view to sort of run parallel to his point of view. But I feel like his brand of baseball has kind of come and gone. I recognize that he's like the fatherly type and that a lot of these guys appreciate how loving and nice he is. But sometimes you just got to be a hard ass.
I agree with that. I agree.
And do what needs to be done and not worry about somebody's feelings.
Look, I think he trusts the players too much.
I think you're right.
Period.
That's exactly it.
He trusts the players too much.
And you know, there's other things that you could look to yesterday. First of all, that the foul ball that wasn't a foul ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, my gosh, I lost. When that happened, I said, we're done. That's it. We are done. If this is the way this is trending, and to be honest with you, I turned the game off before it was over, came back to it. No, I guess I did watch it, but I didn't watch all the post-game stuff there. I went switched over to Comcast, you know, Sportsnet or whatever it's called these days. And I could only listen to so much of the analysis, too, because everybody was so angry that it was very difficult, I think, to actually, like, pick apart the details. Because everybody's just so PO'd.
Well, and here's the thing. There's so much to pick apart, Gene. I mean, you know, John and I detailed it earlier. The list of who did their job as opposed to the list of who didn't do their job. I mean, it's like
a list of four people earlier.
Yeah.
And I got five. I include Bryce in the good category. John and James did not. I mean, listen, Bryce's numbers, and I thought...
good list. Wheeler, Suarez, Sanchez, and Castellanos.
That's my list. Yep. I agree with Richie.
And Harper.
And I put Bryce in there, but others don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would put Bryce in there as well, simply because there were sparkling moments, let's just say.
Well, let me put it this way. Gina, think of it this way. Bryce Harper in this series. Now, I know a couple times he had some late hits late in the game when you're already down big. I think that happened twice, okay? But Bryce Harper for the series hit .333. With a .529 on base percentage and a .750 slugging percentage. I think it's a travesty that people come down on him.
Because people will not forget that sixth inning.
They shouldn't. I mean, that was the worst at bat of the series.
And let's not also forget that hitting a baseball is the hardest freaking thing to do in sports. He had a .1279 OPS this year in the playoffs.
Totally. I mean,
put this on Bryce Harper, you're foolish.
Oh, he's not top. I think he's bottom of the list to blame.
But my point is he
doesn't get no blame. He's the leader of this baseball club. Like any other player in this situation, if they are the best player on the team, we're going to come down on them.
Yeah, like, but here's the way I look at it. And Gina, thanks for the call. If Schwarber and Trey are on base in front of them, God forbid if there's a nine-hole
they
hitter.
They were in that sixth inning. It was first and second, two walks. But, he swung out three straight pitches.
James,
he's not
allowed to make an out.
Yeah, that's not fair.
In that spot, no. Like that spot, no.
Well,
the series
James,
turns
you're
there.
A smart guy. He's not allowed to make an out. The answer
is
no.
I'm being a little aggressive here, but
that's
my point is
that we're telling
Bryce,
you're overreacting.
Bryce did not come up big enough. Like, I get it. He wasn't horrible. He is last on my list of blame, but he's not one of the four I'm not blaming.
All right, John.
I think that's sensible.
John, the whole team, including the manager, the pitchers, and the position players, who bothered you the most?
Oh, man. I think from a grand scheme of things, it's hard to say Jeff Hoffman, but he is as far from what I expected as what
he collapsed
looked like.
He completely, him and Strom collapsed.
Well, Strom also, but Alec Bohm, I don't know what happened to him. This season has been so incredibly disappointing for my understanding of Alec Bohm and his commitment to this team and his teammates and everything that goes with that. It was bizarre where it went.
Well, it was bizarre.
I feel like I can't depend on that guy.
All right, so let's listen to Bryce Harper after the game, his perspective.
World Series 2 years ago, Game 7 LCS last year, now this. What is this going to do to get over the hump, and do you think these are the guys that do it next year?
It's got to be better. Got to finish the job. I mean, obviously,
got a great group of guys in here. Got a really good core. Just wasn't able to get the job done.
Here's more on Bryce because he continued on more on his, you know, mindset last night.
Do you think you guys have, like, the group as it is good enough to win, or do you think you need to make some big changes?
I mean, obviously, we're going to have some guys that are out of this clubhouse, so that's a job for Dave and John to, you know, figure out what they want to do.
All right, Ben, let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
The most prominent Philly that will not be back next year is who? How far do the changes go?
I say the most prominent Philly, probably Alec Bohm.
Do you think he is gone?
I do.
It's a good gasp.
Wow. That was a serious gasp.
And Alec Bohm, as everybody knows, is my guy. Like, I picked him to win a batting title in spring training.
Yes. Wow.
And he was well on his way. And then this hand injury came and...
Let me ask you this question.
It's a different mindset from what I see out of him as well.
No, I understand that. And it was very disappointing at the end.
What happened to his toughness? Did he ever have toughness? Did we pretend like he had toughness?
I don't know, John. I don't know.
Because it doesn't seem like there's any that exists at this point.
Well, there's also this possibility, though. It just happened to be in a seven-month season, you know, you're going to run into your slumps. It happened to be his worst slump at the biggest time, and it compounded upon itself because he put additional pressure on himself
in
that moment.
Well, I don't appreciate you acting like an impetuous child.
No, I don't like that either.
And that's where I think that's why he's not going to be here, because I don't know. I think they may have gotten fed up with that part of it.
I hope so.
I love Alec Bohm. I wish he would stay here, but A, they're going to have to pay him.
Yeah, you're getting close. You're getting close.
And B, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. It's not easy to figure out how to change this thing up because, you know, Trey is basically untradeable. Castellanos' contract doesn't help you. He obviously finished strong but was bad for a good stretch.
I think that's easy, though. I think that change is an easy one.
Well, no, there's a market for Alec Bohm. You want to trade Alec Bohm. There's some teams that will take Alec Bohm. I guess he was second in the league in doubles this year.
Yeah.
I mean, Alec Bohm's a pretty solid player. But he played like a, you know, disaster at the end of the year. Just an absolutely brutal Thursday morning. It really is. And this era will end up being a tremendous disappointment if they don't win a title. Like, we don't know in the next 2 to 4 years if they will or won't. Sometimes teams do. Sometimes they don't. The Andy and Donovan and Doc team never did. The Lindros LeClaire team never did. Look, the Doc team did with the Sixers. The Mike Schmidt team did with the Phillies. I mean, you know, it was interesting. The Sixers after 77 came out with a slogan called "We Owe You One." Now I'm guessing that the Phillies aren't going to.
No, they're not going to try that.
Because that hung around the Sixers for 6 years.
Oh my God, for forever.
We owe you one.
Any time now would be pay us back.
Teams know at this point
they do owe us one though, man. They do.
They're as good as cash.
$275,000. I'm going to hold on to that one.
Jason with us in studio here. All right, more of what Rob Thompson and Bryce and Trey Turner. Something interesting he said. Post game. We'll get to that shortly. Let's go back. Oh, by the way, one other thing real quick before the phone. I just want to say thank you to everyone who listens to our show. And I say that because, you know, I always feel a sense of, you know, disappointment when these seasons end. Obviously, I mean, bitter disappointment at times. But also appreciation for those of you that listen to our program. You know, we wish we had together another 3 or 4 weeks of baseball. We do. I mean, we know that. And so it's not going to be as fun, right? I mean, we know that for the next 3 weeks. Because it could have been a title. Could have been a parade in 3 weeks. But... you know, I appreciate those that, you know, you wake up, you get in your car, you drive to work, you listen to our show, and you guys are old enough to know the play goes on, you know, like, and the great play goes on. We're going to get to the Eagles again. We're going to get to the Sixers. We're going to get to the Flyers. A couple months from now, we're going to get to the Phillies. Now, when we get back to the Phillies.
We've got a lot of baseball corrections.
Well, that's true, too.
There's a lot of baseball love. There's a lot of baseball discussion left in our hearts that needs to get out. Oh, my gosh.
It's a really...
we know that a lot is going to change. Like, a lot
must change. We hope a lot
if we're going to have a chance to make it different next
year. Yeah, we'll see. But I will tell you this. My gut feeling, and I've lived through a lot of years. I'm 46. I think this is the most fascinating Phillies offseason I've
ever. You think they're going to try and run it back?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying I think it's the most fascinating offseason as they embark on it in my lifetime as a Phillies fan. Because they got to do different things, but it's not going to be easy to uncork the cork.
Yeah, there's a lot of money spent already.
You can't trade Trey Turner's contract.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, do they trade Ranger to just try something different in the pitching staff? I don't think so, but I don't know.
You trade Alec Bohm.
Because he gets paid after next year, too. Right. So Ranger, that's an interesting name that I hadn't thought about at all, Joe. That's fascinating.
Do they trust Hoffman and Strom?
They have to pay Hoffman. I mean, Hoffman's a free agent. I mean, that's another one. Right? You know, yeah, like, there's real questions.
Is Rob Thompson the manager? These, you know, all right, let's go to the phones. But my point is, I appreciate everyone listening to our show, and we'll keep doing what we do, even though, you know, no title in 3 weeks.
Can I ask Jason the question?
Go for it.
As a football player, how many times after a loss did you go into the clubhouse and saying, man, that's on Big Red?
That's on the coach?
Yeah, that's on
not
the coach.
Often. I mean, usually you're looking to, like, the players not executing.
Correct.
Occasionally you'll look to, like, one or two things and you're like, man, if we just would have did that, it would have made a huge difference. And but typically it's you're thinking about the team, you're thinking about you know, the game plan, how well it worked. But there weren't too many times I went into a game where I'm like, man, the coach really just kind of blew that one.
Right.
And I think, you know, a lot's being made out of Hopper. We've talked, I know he's like, his demeanor is very, like, fatherly, right? Like, I know we've kind of brought that up.
Yeah.
And I really like his demeanor, and it seems like, I don't know, I just like the guy. But I do think there's like
Canadian.
A balance. Canadians are...
It's very Canadian.
I've grown to be fond of the Canucks.
I know. Yeah, it's almost impossible to not like the Canadian man.
But I think, but what I'm going to get good, I think that they're, even if that's going to be the manager's, like, aura, or like what he's exuding into the guys, you need to still have this balance within a team, and you need like a Dennis Rodman, a Lenny Dykstra. You need some of these guys that push the edge of this to like round out like the edge of the team. And
wow.
I think that's what, I don't know much
about. You
mean
like the nasty guys?
No, he means like Jazz Chisholm.
Whoever. Like it,
like
it,
someone,
yes.
that, you, someone that's different.
Maybe there needs to be like an edge where mm-hmm. there's some type of like chaoticness
mm-hmm.
to a team. And then there needs to be these guys that also rein it in. Well, I think like, I feel like Topper is in the mold of like a Phil Jackson, right? And that's why I would go to like Dennis Rodman. Like I watch, mm-hmm. You know, the Last Dance. And like when you look at championship teams, there's always like this, the Bash Brothers, there's always like these guys that bring the energy when there's nothing there. They find ways to get guys out of slumps. And I think, you know, for us, Stout would always say execution fuels emotion. And that's true for the majority of guys. It's really hard when you're not performing to all of a sudden be confident and be like, man, I'm about to go out here and just crush this despite all the evidence in front of my face. So you need these guys that are like almost like unrealistically confident and like kind of wild cards where it's like, man, are you in reality?
Mm-hmm.
It's because they help bring the other guys there. And it's annoying at times to deal with those guys, trust me. But at other times, they're freaking awesome to have
You know
around.
Who I think
and
was that for the Phillies? Jimmy Rollins was that.
I agree.
He was the...
Irrational confidence.
Irrational confidence.
Yep. But I do think...
Usually in football, it's DBs, which I feel like to play DBs, you have to be irrationally confident.
Yeah. CJ GJ, right?
For 80-yard bomb, it's like, man,
wide receivers, DBs.
CJ GJ, we've heard that brought up by so many players on this team where they need that.
I love Jalen Mills, and I would be blown away as a man. I have no idea how you are so confident after what just happened. And I love it. I'm
so
rolling
true.
With you in this game.
I think there is a misnomer though about Topper that he's just this late. He gets in guys' asses. You may not see it. It's going to be behind closed doors, but he will get in your ass if you screw up. You're not going to see it, but I'm saying like this is the part of Rob Thompson. We think, well, he's too soft. He's this. That's not him behind closed doors.
Well, okay, so
he runs a tight ship. I'm telling you.
I have sensed that, Ben, more than people think. But mm-hmm. here's what we know from the outside. It doesn't manifest in playing time.
It doesn't,
Trey Turner
manifest
is,
in a
Trey Turner
is
never
team.
Benched for, like, they were going to make the playoffs no matter what. Trey Turner's never benched for two straight games for the manager to make that point stronger. I'm pulling you out for two games. So I tell you, we have 37 games to go. When I said stop chasing pitches, I meant stop chasing pitches.
Can a manager even do that?
Like,
in today's
like Charlie
world?
Did it to is Jimmy that, Rollins.
Yeah, like, and you guys
world.
Know that
in
was my theory on Ben
world.
Simmons.
They can.
My theory.
It's really
they?
Hard
guys,
to do with a $300 million.
Well,
guy
it is. It's harder.
And, yeah.
But,
I think,
correct.
But my theory on Ben Simmons always was one of the coaches had to say to him, here's the deal, Ben. Listen, you will shoot 5 jump shots tonight, You will not play tomorrow.
I like this in theory, like, but again, in today's world, especially in the NBA, where
I understand.
Ben Simmons has more power than the coach who's telling him this itinerary.
I know, but how did it work out in the end? The message didn't get through enough. All right, let's go to the phones. Jason with us here for a few more minutes. Let's get to Chuck in Mount Airy right now. Chuck, good morning.
Hey, Joe, good morning. Morning, team, good morning. Hey, listen, all these teams suck, and we just got to live with it. You know, these guys lay down like a dog yesterday. And you're gonna get on me, Joe, about saying I went too far yesterday, about saying he played with no heart? Well, show me a guy on there that played with heart.
Well, Ranger played with heart. Price plays with heart. JT plays with heart. Just because JT didn't hit the ball doesn't mean he doesn't play with heart. Look, he's a catcher back there for 100-something games a year.
JT Realmuto stinks. Okay, and we ain't got nothing to look forward to but a quarterback. He's garbage too. He was gonna go 8-9, you know. And they wonder why we're the bitter fan. But we're the bitter fan because of this garbage that you seen yesterday.
Hey Chuck, okay? The football team's gonna look better coming out of the bye.
I can't even do it.
Yeah, don't want to hear it today, John. John, just don't.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it on Monday. John, they either won or lost. We'll find out.
Please, John. Please, okay. You know, this division is better than what you think. The Giants.
The Commanders are.
All right, this is Chuck, too much Chuck, football
yeah, Chuck,
talk.
Chuck,
Chuck, don't care.
I'm begging
Phillies.
You. Yeah,
Chuck,
yeah.
Phillies, Chuck.
Yep.
I know. But it's all of them. They all combined, man. You know what I mean? But the Philly steak, I mean, Rob Thompson should be gone. You know what I mean? What's his name? Trey Turner? You can't get rid of him, you know, because his contract is $300 million. That's a waste of money, you know. They pulled Ranger out yesterday. Andrew was pitching pretty good.
He was up around 100 pitches.
97
Chuck.
Pitches.
Yeah, Chuck.
I understand that. So you guys think doing this pitch count stuff? They did it with Willard. Now we don't have a game file to go to. I don't care about pitch count. It's playoffs, man. We wouldn't even want to save Willard to afford game five. That's not even going to happen.
Look, man.
He's right.
Look, Chuck. Yeah, there's
Zach's some, nice and rested.
You're
today.
Right about.
He's right.
You're right about some stuff. You're wrong
Ready
about some
to go.
Stuff. First off, and guys, I am not in the mood to defend the Phillies. Okay, but when
so don't do
but,
it.
No,
yeah,
but
you don't have to.
When a caller says, "quote they stink," that's inaccurate.
They stunk in the series.
They stunk
that
in the series.
Is accurate.
Yeah,
okay. That is
they
accurate.
Stink right now today. Yes. They stink.
No, they don't stink right
but
now
they
today.
Did,
they played
man.
Four. They played bad baseball
they played
for
four stinky
but they did.
Games.
They,
I'm aware of that.
When it mattered most, they stunk, and there's no other way to put it. That doesn't mean they're a bad team.
Well, that's
and everyone
what Chuck
stinks.
Was implying.
But today. Today they stunk, man.
That's how people feel today.
Yeah, my point, like, I got
you
John.
You don't have to, like, correct people when they say they suck because they literally just tore your heart out.
No, I understand the tear their heart out reality, but I also look ahead to the future. And it's like, if the idea is let's just get rid of 15 players, I think that's foolish.
I think let people feel today, man.
People
I think
can feel however they want to feel.
So
but hold on, James. If someone says the Phillies, quote, stink, I'm going to tell you, no, they don't.
Okay, the Phillies aren't good enough.
I agree.
They stink.
Let's go to
right
Lenny.
Now.
Lenny and Conshohocken. Lenny, you're on WIP.
Morning. How are you, Jason? Pleasure to talk to you.
How's it going?
So I have a few things that I want to talk about. Then I want to hear your point and comment back on it. One, it's JT Realmuto, and he's been one of my favorite players forever, and I love him. But him behind the plate this whole series was just not good enough. He olayed two balls yesterday that he didn't even attempt to get in front of, and those were monster mistakes. And
I thought they were some pretty wild pitches from what I remember. Right, Ben, as a catcher?
Yeah,
I mean,
they were borderline intentional grounding.
I thought he had no shot on some of
them. Two of them were for sure no way. Yeah. There's one that maybe, but yeah.
And you're not going to be able to block a ball on one knee anyway. So
yeah. The second and third one, I think so. But the first one, very, very half inning before that. Alvarez made the same exact pick, and he put a little more effort into it. So I want to go back into what JT here. So I want to go to the bottom of the ninth, or the top of the ninth here. So it's first and second, one out. And JT Realmuto then decides to get aggressive and take third, okay? So this is my point on Rob Thompson trusting his players and then essentially showing zero trust in any of his players. JT takes third. Then the camera pans to Bryson Stott at first base. And says, do you want me to take second?
Right.
And the Phillies dugout said, yes. The reason you don't do that is because if you have a hitter you trust, they take the bat out of that hitter's hand.
No. You don't worry about that, Lenny, with the score being what it is. You get a guy on base, that's fine. The issue, what you're trying to do by getting a second base is you can take away a force play at second if there's a tough grounder in the hole. A guy can get a base hit because it can't be flipped to second base 100%. And get the guy out.
And you could score on you score two runs on a single. Yeah, like it's both reasons.
Yeah, now you're down multiple runs at that point.
But still, you get runs. You know,
that was not bad baseball, and that was a good job by Stott to communicate. What do you want me to do? They communicated back, and he took the bag. That's fine. There's a million things to complain about. That's not one of them.
But does he take the bag if Bryce is batting?
Yeah, I think he takes a bag no matter what, and that's you always take defensive indifference, always, because they'd walk Bryce anyway. It's bases loaded one way or the other. If they walk him, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I just don't think they would take the bat out of his hand. I don't know. Maybe me and you guys will disagree.
I think 100% of runners take that.
I mean,
base,
I guess your fear is they walk Schwarber, and therefore you take away the better chance at a 3-run homer to tie it. But you also put the tying run on first base. I mean,
the winning run at the plate.
The winning run at home plate. They're not going
to
do that.
Yeah, Lenny, I think you're looking at it wrong there. Let's get to the Twitter poll questions of the day. We got three of them. They're all brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question, which hitter disappointed you the most in the series? Is it Bohm, Bryce, JT, or Trey? Which pitcher disappointed you the most in the series? Is it Estevez, Hoffman, Nola, or Strom? And do you think Rob Thompson should be fired, yes or no? James, you said you were leaning yes.
So I went into last night heavily leaning no, heavily. And last night turned me. Again, I thought the decision to bring Jeff Hoffman back out in the first place was a disastrous decision, as bad as pulling Zach Wheeler in the World Series, as bad as any decision he's made in the playoffs. And then he left him in there. And then on top of it, to Rhea's point earlier, I mean, not going out to argue the Bohm play, it just felt like Topper was on cruise control. Like, I don't think Topper is close to the biggest problem. I get that. I absolutely blame the players far, far more. But changes have to be made. Like, there has to be something to shake this up, and they can only change the roster so much. So, yeah, I would fire Rob Thompson.
You can't argue the Bohm play, first and foremost. You can't argue
it. You can show some life.
What good is that going to do?
Next time, maybe they call it differently. Like,
Jeff Hoffman had a 2.17 ERA. He was an all-star. 2.17 ERA in the regular season. In the postseason, he had a 40.50 ERA.
Would you have brought him back
That's
out for the sixth?
That's not on Rob Thompson.
Would you have brought him back out for the sixth?
Yes, I would have.
Really? Come on, you would not have.
What about Zach Wheeler? What about Zach Wheeler?
This is the horse you rode the entire season.
That's the problem with Craig Kimbrell. That was the horse he rode all season.
What about Zach Wheeler?
Okay, what about Wheeler? Oh, let me just say really quick. I think he left him in too long. Okay, let me just start with that. Would you agree with that?
After the first hitter or the first two hitters,
clearly.
Yes.
All right. Now, John, to your Wheeler question, go ahead.
Yeah. What about Zach Wheeler? We know that the fifth inning, Jeff Hoffman did a nice job.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing him back out is when I objected, because Zach Wheeler, we were told everyone, all hands on deck, we know Zach Wheeler could have been used in that spot. Why would you have a feeling one way or another about Zach Wheeler being there? It seems like you'd prefer to stay the way it was.
Well, I thought the whole game plan was having Christopher Sanchez come in after Ranger. Apparently that wasn't the game plan, because he never showed up and he never pitched. So having Wheeler come in that situation, I wasn't for it. But, you know, that's the route. I think the guy threw 111 pitches 4 days ago.
Which guy?
Wheeler.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
did he show up at the hospital with his arm falling off? Because this 100 pitch count is based on no scientific evidence.
Here's what I'll say, Ben. I was okay with Jeff Hoffman starting the inning while I was concerned about it.
Correct.
I think it went on too long, and I think you can make a strong case. You've got to go to one of the two starters during that inning.
100%.
Yeah. You have to, either Wheeler or Sanchez has to get in and then has to go for a while.
Yeah,
because I got a million guys I'm not trusting right now. And they're two of the only four or five players who played good the whole series on the whole team. You got to go to one of them. And he waited way too long. I mean, Hoffman was overthrowing everything
in that second inning.
Jason, does this stuff make you want to be more of a talk show host or less of a talk show host?
I like my guest status. I get to come in just for a little bit and talk about this stuff. Yeah.
Well, put a bow on the Philly season for us, Jason. As an athlete, as a fan, as a Philadelphian, put a bow from your perspective, if you can, on the Philly season. And this group, as it relates to the past, as it relates to the future, where are you at?
I think it's a really frustrating end to something that started out so magical. It's a group that now has had three seasons together, largely, to really build on 2022. Well, I guess this was the third season.
Yeah.
I still think that they have a lot of the pieces necessary. I think Middleton's shown that he's willing to commit and try and build this thing. And I think that, you know, hopefully they make the moves this next year to, you know, make the improvements necessary. But it's, I also like, you know, part of this with baseball is hard for me. Like, it feels like a different team wins every, like, it feels so streaky as opposed to like all these other sports.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a circumstantial,
you look at basketball
nature
and football. Yeah. They're dominated by players that can play at their top of their game almost every single week. And it's just not the way baseball works. So there's a lot more variables of, like, you know, slumps and whatnot.
Yep.
That are hard to predict. But I think, you know, there's going to be some moves made. I think that most of the pieces there are still really, really good players. I don't think that, like, anything drastic should probably be done, to be honest with you. I know that that's what it feels like after watching the collapse and what just happened in these playoffs. But I still think that there's still something to these guys. I think you make a couple moves and maybe get some edge back to it, a full offseason to kind of recoup. And now the expectation is like, hey, we're not thinking about the World Series. We're thinking about getting better and better each week. That becomes more of the mindset. And I think they could do a really good job next year. But, yeah, I'm going to be thinking about that for the next few months.
Well, Jason, we love having you in studio.
Thank you.
I guess the good thing for your kids is they're too young to understand what this all means. Give it about 5 more years, and they're going to go to bed crying on these moments, because there's thousands of kids in the Delaware Valley went to bed crying last night.
Yeah. My kids wanted Bluey. They were tired of me in the baseball game.
Well, to be fair, Bluey is the best.
Pretty fantastic.
Bluey is the greatest thing ever created, yeah. So I get it.
All right, Jason, stay well, man. That. We'll talk football next week with you, man. Thanks. There he is, Jason Kelce. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Chuck calling from Cherry Hill right now. What's going on, Chuck?
Yeah, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Chuck.
System-wide failure. You know, you're looking at 185 team batting average. System-wide, I mean, the place, any level of blame on Harper. I mean, come on.
I think it's ridiculous.
Cut me a break.
Yep.
Our leadoff batter didn't bat my weight, and that's, I don't know how you can interpret that, but it's not good. I mean, it's system-wide failure. And listen, there's a team still playing that, believe it or not, Ripley is batting 183, and they're still alive because they pitched.
Hmm.
We didn't pitch. We didn't hit. We didn't base run. But I'll tell you one thing that I can't get over at 70 years old. And I only got thrown out of one game in 50 years of management. But you could, and I, Ben Davis, I know you, buddy. There's no way, and I know the rule interpretation, and there's no way, Ben, you're on the dugout sitting down on that ball that was fair. That is a critical call. Go ignite your team. Topper, get the heck out there. It's a fair ball. It's a 4-2 game.
Well, Chuck, let me tell you something about that sequence. So, to the point that's been said a lot, it can't be overturned because of the replay system.
Yeah,
okay. But here's what Rob Thompson going out there can do. He can make Diaz stand on the mound for 3 to 4 minutes and just stand there. And maybe Diaz becomes less effective just standing there. And that's a moment Rob Thompson could have impacted the game and either chose not to or didn't even think to do it.
When you're out there making a scene or a presence, everybody knows, Ben played, Ben knows, you're buying escrow the next call. You're not going to change that call because you can't, but you're darn well maybe going to get the next call for them to get the tables right, and that's why you're out. But you're also showing your team that you give it darn. I mean, that's a fair ball. And we didn't have any presence whatsoever.
It was a killer.
I have a hard time getting over that. I really do. But, I mean, this is just devastating. And now you got age working against you. JT, 34. Other guys, 33. It's not so easy to fix these problems, man. I mean,
well, you know, Chuck,
the JT thing is a real worry, because how do you realistically so, fix it.
I'm not as worried about him as some are because I just expect that you will rely on him less. Like, let's put it this way. Next year, Marchand up here, 60 games. JT Realmuto, 100 games. That's the regular season, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, and I'm off by two games.
Is Marchand the guy? I like his arm a lot.
He's got to stay healthy, though.
I mean,
yeah, but he's a better backup catcher, and you go into it saying, I'm leaning on this guy to help relieve the other guy. That's number one.
Okay.
Hopefully that makes JT a better catcher in the postseason.
That sounds beautiful when you put it that way. If it's that simple, is it that simple, Ben?
Well, it's that and batting him eighth. If JT continues to slide backwards, you just rely on him less. But this is where you need, what do they call it? Outfielders that can hit the ball. I mean, you know, I mean, Ben, this team had, now imagine this. This is really hard to do. Easier to do in a DH role, but hard to do. They had outfielders hitting eighth and ninth.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost impossible.
It's almost impossible. Correct. Right? Your outfielders are usually at the top of the lineup or in the middle of the lineup.
I mean, their outfielders hit 8-9.
They're usually run producers.
It's stunning. But anyway,
the weaknesses are glaring. And this is one thing that Dave Dombrowski has, and he will make the adjustments. He has to.
All right, James, let me ask you a question here. As we're talking mostly about last night and all, but we're also peeking ahead of the future. James, you are Dave Dombrowski and Kyle Schwarber's agent calls you this offseason and says, my guy's got 1 year left on his deal. He wants a new 3-year deal and he wants $65 million. What do you do, James?
Let's see how this year goes, Kyle. We'll touch back at the end of the season. Like, I love Kyle Schwarber, and I blame him a lot less than others, and I do believe in him as a player and a leader and all that.
This
but
is where
like,
it gets sticky.
It's what it is, right?
I agree with you. If the numbers are different, if he says, hey, I'll take 1 year,
give me 15 million. Sure. If there's a Chris Sanchez deal comes along, I'm going to take it. But
because, Ben, one of the things with the last era of great Phillies baseball, of course, won a title, but five straight. But they held on to guys too long.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and this is where I would be a terrible owner.
Because you love the guy.
I love Kyle Schwarber. I love everything about him. I love him as a person. I love him as a player. And this is where my heartstrings would get torn because what do I do?
Right.
It's a tough
spot.
What do I do?
All right, let's listen to Trey Turner. He said something last night post game. I thought he was kind of all over the place with this comment. Let's listen to it and we'll break it down. Here's Trey about the approach at the plate, not just himself, but teammates. Obviously for him and most of them, it was a disaster. Here's Trey Turner last night.
I personally think we get ourselves out. I don't think it matters who's on the mound. I know I feel that way personally, and I would think a lot of guys in this room feel that way as well. Hitting's very tough, and it's easy to sit in the dugout and say don't swing at this pitch or do this or do that, and we say it all the time. It's so easy from over here when we're in the dugout and someone else is hitting, we say it. But when you're in the box and you're competing, and there's a guy on the other side throwing 95 miles an hour and got all sorts of things going on, it's easy to say do this or do that. But when you're in the box, you got to make a decision in how you're going to compete, and I think we want to compete. I think we have a great lineup and great offensive players, and I think we get ourselves out.
All right, so here's why there's part I like and part I don't like within his answer. Obviously, he's correct. They get themselves out. We all know that. Okay. Here's what drives me nuts about the answer. Just know.
I hate it.
Know that the opposing pitcher is intentionally throwing you balls. And know before the pitch, I'm up 2-0 in the count. I don't need to swing.
He's saying they know, though. But he's saying they know, and they don't care.
And they swing anyway.
And they swing anyway.
That's what makes no sense.
That was infuriating to me.
Isn't that what he's saying? He's saying we know we get ourselves out.
But it's just too hard, is what he's saying. He's actually saying we know, but sorry, just too hard to do that. That's what he's saying. He's saying it's too hard for us to do what we know we should do. That's what he's saying. That's why it makes no sense.
It's insane. That's insane.
You know what? It's supposed to be hard to go and do something like this. It's supposed to be hard to go and win a world championship to play baseball at this high level. I get that it's really hard. The good teams go and do it anyway. Go do it. Like, that's why we pay you $300 million, man. Go do it. I don't care that it's hard. I am not sympathetic.
I'm not either. And on him, I'm not. And the thing about it is, where I thought he especially lost their head, they were down multiple runs. Walks are good. Like, you need get on base and start churning the wheel to get runs.
Like, I can't believe he said
right,
that.
Right, James?
Like, honestly, I'm more infuriated by that than anything else I've heard today.
Play this one more time. I want to make sure we're hearing this the right way. I think we are.
You are.
I think he's saying we know what to do, but we choose not to do it.
And because it's too hard. That's the point.
All right, let's listen to this one more time.
I personally think we get ourselves out. I don't think it matters who's on the mound. I know I feel that way personally, and I would think a lot of guys in this room feel that way as well. Hitting's very tough, and it's easy to sit in the dugout and say don't swing at this pitch or do this or do that. And we say it all the time. It's so easy from over here when we're in the dugout and someone else is hitting, we say it. But when you're in the box and you're competing, and there's a guy on the other side throwing 95 miles an hour and got all sorts of things going on, it's easy to say do this or do that, but when you're in the box, you got to make a decision and how you're going to compete. And I think we want to compete. I think we have a great lineup and great offensive players. And I think we get ourselves out.
It makes no sense to me.
Wow,
that's why,
man.
You're a professional athlete.
Oh,
man.
My God.
Figure it out and go do amazing things. You are paid a lot of money to go do great things against other amazing athletes.
That answer tells me they were thinking way too much. Hitting is a reactionary movement, and I was not a good hitter because I thought too much, to be perfectly honest with you. Did I have the skill? Yes, but I thought way too much going into certain situations. Hitting is a reactionary movement. These guys weren't reacting.
Well,
they were swinging at bad pitches and letting the good ones go by.
No, I agree with that, but here's where I take it more to, Ben. I take it to, if I'm up 2-0 in the count,
it's got to be where you want
to. No, not even. I'm not even swinging. No, if I'm up 2-0 on the count, the bat doesn't get off my shoulder in that situation.
And I'm down multiple runs, and Bryce Harper is behind me. I am going to make this guy throw three strikes before two balls.
Correct.
And he's probably not going to, and therefore I'm going to get on base, and the wheel starts moving, and here comes Bryce.
And then we're cooking.
And that's where he was so, you ready for this word? Dumb.
Dumb.
He played dumb baseball.
And that's exactly why.
And he just told us he did.
Yeah, watching the scoreboard, looking at the scoreboard and watching the game, that's where that comes into hand.
He defended dumb. He defended dumb.
Yeah,
that's a great way to put it.
Right,
he defended dumb approach and dumb way of playing baseball.
And the thing is, the pitchers know it.
They know it, Rhea.
They know that all they're doing is hunting fastballs. They're not going to give them to them.
They're trying to drive balls into the gap and over the fence. And the players had an undisciplined approach, and the Mets pitchers consistently, as the Diamondbacks did, blah, 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 as the Astros did, they just took advantage of it.
That's why I said on the post-game show last night, this series, this playoff series, was lost in the second to last weekend in September. When they went up to Citi Field, the Phillies, they lost 3 out of 4 games, and these pitchers patterned the Phillies hitters. They knew exactly how to pitch them, and they continued that. And the Phillies hitters did not make the adjustments.
And you know what's frustrating? Even I agree with you, Ben. You know what's even more frustrating? The Mets pitchers aren't that good.
No!
I mean, come on,
they're
guys.
They're not!
This isn't Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz. I mean, come on.
I agree.
I mean, for the love of God.
Seriously. I agree.
All right, let's go to Chris and Ben Salem. Chris, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I got a little bit, a bunch to say here, so I'm going to try to burn through it. So I spent my life in baseball, played, through college, a little bit of pro ball, trained players, had a facility, and now work for a baseball company, just to give a little bit of credibility to what I'm about
to
say.
Sure, yep.
So my orbit is baseball players. They're my friends. They're still in it, some of them. They still work for some of these organizations. And the thing that those guys said that still work for the organizations are that the book is out on the Phillies, that they have two disciplined hitters in the lineup. And, that's how, we saw it play out. It just confirms what we all saw and what we're all talking about. And I'll say this, and I'd like to hear, Ben, I'd love to hear your opinion on this, just the way that the pitchers throw or the approach that they take, especially the bullpen guys. I thought Kirkering and Hoffman really abandoned the two-seamers that they found back, in late July. I thought they threw some really great two-seamers and found some elite pitches in both of them. And the way that they pitch at the top of the zone, they take themselves out of ground ball situations a lot rather than, when they have no outs or one out and a guy on base throwing the baseball downhill, they pitch at the top of the zone.
Ben, do you sense that?
I just think that the command was not there. The command of the strike zone was not there. It was like they were just throwing pitches just to throw them. A lot of the pitches that they threw had no conviction. It didn't have a purpose. They were throwing pitches without a purpose. It was just, I'm throwing a pitch just to throw it. So, yeah, I would agree with that. And the fact that, like, I'm going to throw the sinker. I'm going to put it where I want it. I'm going to induce the ground ball. I would agree with that. You got to throw every pitch has a purpose.
You know, I heard a thing, and Chris, good call.
Great call.
Greg Maddux, there was a show on MLB Network on him recently. And, you know,
it was phenomenal.
It was great. And, Ben, you know the part where one of his former catchers talked about how he gave up a home run on purpose one time. Up, I think, 8-0 to an opposing player. I think it was Bagwell. And he knew he was going to see Bagwell later in the season, probably in the playoffs. And so he gave him a homer on purpose. Mm-hmm. And the whole point was, I'm going to trick him in October because he's going to think this is coming. And it's not coming in October. I mean, it's just like to the point of purpose.
Well, that's awfully nice. That's awfully generous.
Well, no, but then he got him out in October.
Oh, it's diabolical.
It's diabolical.
It's Machiavelli.
That's the most comfortable over four you'll ever face. It's Greg Maddux.